Well, at a time when the rate of autism in the province is rising and already the highest in Canada, the local Autism Society is fighting for its financial life. The ASNL has issued a warning that operations are not sustainable, and without a stable infusion of money, they may have to cut programs and services. Executive Director Scott Crocker joins me live in studio this morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
So give us a picture of how big the operation is for right now. How many people are working there on these programs? How many clients are you serving?
Well, just to begin with, we have our own building, of course, and our own property and facilities, which is a huge cost if you think about it. We serve anywhere between 300 and 400 participants weekly. We structure by semester, but it translates into weekly as well. During the year, we have 28 staff, practically all are full-time. And in the summer, we hire anywhere from 12 to 15 additional people, young adults with ASD, and they work with us from June basically up till September, that sort of thing.
What are the age range of the people that you're helping in the community?
Oh, we have programming that takes people from kindergarten age, school age. So we have children, youth, adults, right up into the 40s and so on. Yeah.
So are you concerned about the society's future and what it's going to be able to do?
Yeah, if I could just set the stage, for example, like since 2013, you know, the number of participants we serve has tripled. The staff has grown, and government funding has stayed exactly the same. It hasn't increased since in over 6 years. Our fundraising, which was really, really well in the last 3 years, has dropped by 50%, and therein lies the crunch. Our deficit that we have every year, $300,000, is basically the lost revenue in fundraising, and that just results from the downturn in the economy. A lot of organizations and businesses and families are experiencing difficulties these past 2 or 3 years, as you would know, certainly.
That's amazing. So with the economy being as it is, you know, it's difficult nowadays to find a family that isn't touched by autism in some way.
Absolutely.
But the fundraising just hasn't been there.
Oh, yeah. I think it's fair to say that everyone is finding living more challenging the last several years with all of the, you know, the job losses, the cutbacks, the tax increases and so on, and even businesses and sponsors and so on that give and support. We're a small community in Newfoundland and Labrador. It's the same people that are really supporting a lot of different organizations. So I think everybody is suffering a little. In our case, because we have so many trained employees to work with very particular type issues and so on, and our own building. We don't rent. We don't have just two or three employees. The costs are fairly large. You know, our budget per year is anywhere from 1.6 to 1.8 million. You know, that's a lot of money. And $300,000 is a lot of money. And the board of directors expects me, as the CEO starting the fiscal year, to come in with a balanced budget. And we can't be depending on government anymore to be giving us some money at the end of the fiscal to help reduce some of the deficit. It just doesn't make sense. So we have to go into this fiscal year starting now with a balanced budget, which means I've got to make some decisions, obviously, by June, which is when the regular program year ends.
What kind of demand is on that service right now? You mentioned a bit that it's been growing.
Oh, it's growing. We have the highest incidence rate for autism in the country. And we serve anywhere, like I said, from 300 to 400 participants, and that's right across the age span. And we always have 40, 50, 60 people on the wait list. So there's lots of demand for programming. The programming is good. It's targeted. It helps our participants in school, in the community, in recreational facilities to get involved, engage, and so on. It's stuff nobody else is doing. So, you know, we would rather come up with the $300,000, obviously, but it needs to be something that's continuous, that happens every year. Otherwise, you're just bouncing along from year to year, facing these same challenges and having to make these same decisions with staff and participants. It's not fair to them, certainly.
And you said it's across the age spectrum as well, the services you're delivering to people, because so much of the public conversation about autism seems to focus on children with autism, helping children in school, obviously a major issue. But of course, children grow up, and now we have people, adults in the workforce, who still require services.
Oh, yeah. Well, our participants, a little over 60% breaks down to 18 and less, and almost 40%, therefore, 18 and over. So, you know, there's a fair balance. We do a lot of work with adults today, and one of our most important programs, for instance, is helping graduating students in high schools in the St. John's metro area transition out of school into employment or post-secondary or volunteer activities. You know, that's something nobody's doing, and we do it very, very well, and it's a program we don't want to lose, obviously. Funding was cut for that program 2 years ago, and we took it on and kept it going with our own funding because it was such a benefit and we were getting such positive feedback.
What happens if things continue as they are right now and you have to cut those programs?
I will be terminating, I would say, 4 to 5 positions. Now, this could be, you know, this is not just programming. This is programming, it's property, it's social enterprise, and so on. The goal will be to make up that difference, to eliminate that deficit, and we will do it by trying to reduce the impact as best we can so that we affect the fewest number of participants. That's the target always, right? But at the end of the day, you know, the board of directors expects me to present a budget that's balanced, that's reasonable, and we live within our means, I guess. So not wanting to do that means we have to come up with that deficit, which translates into roughly $300,000.
And what is the next step in your plan to try to reach that goal?
Well, we've been talking with government for quite some time. Our core fund from government is exactly the same now as it was in 2013. And you can imagine how costs have risen. You know, participants have tripled, staff has grown, doubled. So costs have really increased, but core funding is the same. That's one area that we would really like to see increase. We get funding from children, seniors, but it's really in conjunction with health and community services. We also get some funding from advanced education for our adult supportive employment programming. We don't get anything at all from education, and I will argue, and many people argue, that one of the biggest influences we have, the positive impacts, is on children and youth who are school age and going into classrooms. The feedback we get from families and teachers and schools is incredible, the positive feedback. We would love to see some of our annual funding coming from the Department of Education, for example. Barring that, we're obviously always seeking community support, and that's really challenging because, as I said, it's a small community, and these people I'm approaching are not only supporting Autism Society, they're supporting 3, 4, 5 other organizations. It's very difficult.
Feeling the crunch. The Autism Society of Newfoundland and Labrador Executive Director Scott Crocker, thank you for joining me this morning.
Thank you very much.